Wow. Wow. I've been asked on several occasions about providing the names of God. There are 100 copies, well, a little less than that now because I saw some people with copies of the names of God on some papers out there in the foyer area. I'd say take one per family. We're trying to save trees, but anyway, if we run out, we'll provide some next week of the names of God. And be aware that although this is a long list, be reminded that all the descriptive titles of Jesus are not there. All the references to the Holy Spirit are not there. I say all that to say this is not all there is. It's just more than we've ever known before. And that's how God is. You know, as I did this series, I began some time ago, as you recall, a series on the names of believers. What believers are called in Scripture. Well, you can't refer to us without giving a descriptor of what we're called. For instance, a believer. I did a sermon on believers. Then because of what believers are called, what I felt compelled to do a series on the names of God. As I was thinking about my comments today, I was thinking maybe I ought to do a series on what unbelievers are called. That would be curious, huh? When I finish a series, there's always a mixed bag of feelings, some with a sense of accomplishment, some with a sense of loss. The sense of accomplishment is, Lord, I tried to do what was honoring to you. The sense of loss is the realization that there's more that's unsaid than it's ever been said. That as much as we try to focus on a few things about the names of God or any subject in Scripture, because of time constraints and all kinds of things, we just skim the surface, and that's always a frustration to me. People often say, why do you talk more than you listen? I guess because I think I got more to say than you do. But anyway, it comes from a compulsion to share truth. If I have anything, I have a passion to communicate. And so, as we've seen these names of God, it's just opened up God bigger to me. And as we've seen today, all that God is that we've never truly reached out for and tried to embrace, He's bigger to me than He's been before. But I'm also reminded that without the name we're going to deal with today, all that He is and all those names would be meaningless to us. Because without the name that we're going to deal with today, we would have no knowledge or no access to all the rest that God is. You see, we only know God because He tells us. We call that self-revelation. If God didn't tell us who He was, we wouldn't know. And all these names are what God tells us about Himself. And of course, in telling us about Himself, He's told us some things about ourselves, because all that God is, we are not. But in that reflection, we understand and embrace the fact that what we know about God, if we know God accurately, must be told to us by God. The implication of that is no one has a right to make up your own ideas about God, because that's idolatry and not revelation. So if we're going to know God, we better listen to God's description of Himself and not take our assumptions of what we think and believe and want God to be, and then superimpose that on Him. And when He didn't live up to those expectations, we blame Him for something He never declared He was. And that's our fault and flaw, which is the purpose why we have this meeting every week. We study what God says about Himself and about this world and about ourselves. That's called a Christian worldview. We look through God's eyes to see each other, ourselves, and the world. As we've seen in this study together, we've discovered more about God and more about ourselves. As with each aspect of God's names, He has shown us who He is through His names, but He's also tried to say that He's wanting to share with us in our needs. We have found in this series together God to be the strong creator God, the relational God, the God who rules, the Lord our provider, our warrior, our peace, our shepherd, our banner, our sanctifier, the one who heals, the Lord our righteousness, and the Lord God Almighty. He's all of those things and much, much more. But without this name today, Emmanuel, we would not have known him at all. You see, because it's through Jesus Christ that we see the significance. And the value and the significance of Jesus Christ is larger to me. Because now I see more so than ever the doorway that he is to all that God is. All these things we've seen about God only come through the person and the work and the life of Jesus Christ. The significance, value, blessings, and benefits of the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ have never been larger to me than they are right now. Because it's only through him we discover that all the blessings and benefits captured and contained in every name of God come only available through Jesus Christ. No other place. Without Jesus, I could not get to know my provider, my warrior, my peace, my shepherd, my banner, my sanctifier, my healer, my righteousness, God Almighty, and all those other things. I would not know if I didn't know Jesus Christ. Turn with me, please, to the text of Scripture listed for in your worship notes. Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. Matthew 1, 21 through 25. Let's stand together as we honor the reading of the Lord's Word this morning. Be reminded that this is the prophecy concerning the coming of the Messiah, Savior Jesus Christ. This is the angel speaking to Joseph in these verses. And he said to Joseph, and she will bear a son, speaking of Mary, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place that was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Say that with me. God with us. Let's personalize it. God with me. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Of course, when we think of God becoming flesh, we call that the incarnation. Coming into flesh. God becoming a man. God with us. That was the whole purpose of Jesus Christ coming, was to reveal who God was and is. Three things very quickly out of our study this morning concerning Emmanuel, what it means for God to have come for us and with us. First of all, God is with us in Christ. God is with us in Christ. Colossians 1, 15 through 19 says these powerful verses of Scripture describing who God is in Christ. Notice this. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body of the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Jesus Christ. Do you notice the theme in these verses of Scripture? Him, 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 him. Jesus Christ is the theme. The God with us revealed in Jesus Christ. It says by him, through him, for him, him, in him. And then did you notice that he is, he is, he is, he is. He is before all things. He is the head of all things. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn. He is first place. And then it describes all the things that God did through Jesus Christ. In these verses of Scripture, we are seeing what is vividly being described is the godness
of Jesus. The Godness of Jesus. And it's describing the revelation of God, God becoming flesh, but also the activity of God before He was revealed in the flesh. He created all things. It's describing His pre-existence before His existence in the flesh. His eternality, His Godness in Jesus Christ. His eternality, His divinity, and His unity with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I can't explain it. I'm just trying to proclaim it. That's all I'm responsible to do. Jesus Christ is God with us in Himself. All that Jesus is revealed in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1 verses 1 through 3 says this. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways in these last days, has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. And He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. God is with us in Jesus Christ. How do we know God? You want to know God? You better know the Son. When Jesus came and walked this earth, even His own disciples said, "Show us the Father." And He says, "Have I been with you so long? You've seen me, you've seen the Father. The words that I speak and the deeds that I do only as a representation of the Father." Jesus said, "You want to know God? Know me. Know who Jesus is. You'll discover who God is." That's what Jesus said. But also we discover God is with us in Christ in this sense. Who God is through His names, Jesus is also through His nature. As we focus on just a brief list of the names of God all through Scripture, we will see even today in these verses of Scripture that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the 12 weeks of the names of God we've just discovered. Elohim, the strong Creator God, Jesus is. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him." Jehovah, the relational God, Jesus is. John 17:23 says, "I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me." Adonai, the God who rules, Jesus is. Luke 6:46. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Elsewhere in Romans 14:11, you don't see it on your screen, the Bible tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is the God who rules. And then the Lord our provider, Jesus is. John 6:35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never, ever thirst again." Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord our warrior, Jesus is, the Scripture says. Revelations 19:11 says, "And I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and wages war." Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, Jesus is. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that you may, that in me you may have peace." Remember, also one of the descriptive titles of Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. What God is, Jesus is. He's fulfilled. The Lord my shepherd, Jesus is. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Jesus is called the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd. Jesus is the fulfillment in flesh of all that God is in His descriptive titles. The Lord our banner, Jehovah Nisi. Jesus is. John 16:33b says, "In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." Let my name, my person be your banner over this world, because I've already conquered it. The Lord our sanctification, Jesus is. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But by His doing you are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus is all of those things for us. The Lord who heals, Jesus is. Matthew 4:23 says, Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. And then Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, Jesus is. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. The Lord God Almighty, Jesus is. Revelation 1:18 says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. All that God is in His names, Jesus is in His incarnation. And He makes Himself available to us. Wow. Jesus is larger than He's ever been before. God is bigger than He's ever been before. Because I can't get to God unless I go through the Son. Secondly, God is for us in His death. God is for us in His death. Colossians 1:19-22 says this, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross, through whom I say, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death, in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. God is with us in Jesus, but He is only for us in His death. If Jesus had not died, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be in the service. We would not know Him. All that Jesus did, He did for you. I attended a funeral last Sunday afternoon of another one of my mentors. I know I've told you the story. Years and years ago, when I was at my first church, I was, way before I met my wife, had a family, pastoring as a single pastor. I went to one of those Monday pastors meetings. They were having a simultaneous revival training many years ago. The convention used to encourage all the churches to have a revival the same week, call it simultaneous revival. And they would teach a area pastor how to do simultaneous revival training, and they provide a booklet and all that sort of stuff. And then they'd go to these associational meetings where all the pastors would gather, and then they would teach the material. And of course, I try to learn everything, you know. I go to all the stuff, take notes, listen. So I went to this meeting, and a pastor stood up. I did not know him, introduced himself, but he got my attention right off. He stood up and said, my name is such and such. And he held up the simultaneous revival training manual that the convention produced. He said, this is the simultaneous revival manual, training manual. I trust you can read. And he laid it back down. Then he said, I want to talk to you about God. He had my attention. He just talked about God. After that meeting was over with, I went up to this man I'd never met before, and I said, sir, my name is Rocky Pope. And I said, I sensed your heart for God. How can I have a heart like that? Well, he said two things to me. He said, have you ever heard of David Kirkendall? No, never heard of David Kirkendall. He said, have you ever read his book, Our Oneness with Christ? No, never heard that book. He said, you need to get that book. Second thing he said is, what are you doing this afternoon? We spent the rest of the afternoon together. Had supper that night. I went and got David Kirkendall's book, Our Oneness with Christ, and read it. And then his next book, Cain Likeness to Christ Likeness, and I read that. And as time would have it, in time I met David Kirkendall. He became a mentor to me. He did a men's retreat for us several years ago and taught that material of Our Oneness with Christ. It's out of Romans 6. And I may do a series even about that one of these days. I've preached around those things, but I've not focused on those things. The crux of Romans 6
is this. Everything that Jesus is, we are and can be in Him if we will claim by faith our oneness with Christ. His death, His burial, and His resurrection. What God did through Christ, He wants to do in us, and He's done for us if we will believe and choose by faith that fact. Okay? I say all that to say it changed my prayers. It changed my relationship to my church. One of David's, his prayers in his book is, he came to a place, he said, God, I resign from everything. I resign his husband. I resign his pastor. I resign his father. I resign his son and brother. I resign from it all. I don't want to initiate anything, but I'm available to what's on your mind. Now, God, you show me what's on your mind, and I'll try to do that. Purity of that and the dependence of that and the faith of that was always personal to me. Boy, when I read that prayer, I scratched David's name off, and I wasn't a father and a husband, but I resigned from everything else. Then I said, God, I don't want to do anything except what's on your mind. The point of all that is this. One of David's definitions for grace is everything that God is moving freely towards you to meet every need that you have. And when he died as a pastor, he had a board. His books were produced free. He gave them away. He gave them away by the thousands. You may know when I first went to the Philippines, our first trip to the Philippines, we were going to be doing a pastor's conference. And some of you remember this that were there. We were going to be doing a pastor's conference in the Philippines, and we wanted to give a gift book to the pastors as an encouragement for them to attend. We would spend a day with them teaching them about many things. Well, I thought, well, it'd be great to have David's books, you know. So I called him and said, David, you know, I know you give these books away. I'm not asking you to. You tell us what they cost for you to reproduce them. We'll pay you that. We'll give it to your foundation or whatever. But we just want to try to provide this Our Oneness with Christ to the pastors. And he said, well, where are you going? I said, we're going to the Philippines. He said, Rocky, my books are there waiting for you to pick up. He already had them, a family there that was a part of his ministry. As an extension of that family, came and brought the books to the seminar, spent a day with us. God is God everywhere. This is the fact. Everything that God wants to do and will do in your life, get this. Only comes through Christ. It's all about Jesus. God is for us in Christ. God is with us in Christ. He's for us in death. And number three, very quickly, God is in us by faith, by His Spirit through faith. Romans 5:2, through whom also we have obtained our inheritance by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. And then again, Colossians 1:27, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. One of the things that I learned from David in his struggle about applying faith to life, he tells about when he first came to Jesus Christ as Savior, he had a tremendous joy. His life was turned upside down, and he had a great sense of God's presence and joy. But as time went on, that seemed to diminish. He seems to have lost that. And he was married and got in ministry and many things, and he continued to pray, Lord, help me to have this joy again. And as ministry would have it, he began to struggle with his ministry was not as successful as others. And he, you know, you get into that comparative mode of who's doing better and where's God blessing. And then you struggle with your own sense of failure and difficulties. And how do you not compare yourself to others? And you want God to do here what he's doing there and all that kind of stuff. And he wrestled with all those emotions. And he says, I constantly pray, God, take that away. Take the jealousy away. Take the anger away. Take the frustration away. And that's when he discovered the Romans 6 passage about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are one with Christ in those texts. We become one with Him. He died for us. We died in Him. And this is what He said. This is what I discovered. He said, the prayer I'd been praying for God to deliver and change those things in me, I realized He would not answer because He had already answered. Answer was already given. It was all in Jesus. You just need to trust it. He's already died to take your sin. He's already died to take that anger. He's already died. You gotta by faith say, Lord, that's been crucified. That old man's been dead. I count him dead. And I choose to live a life giving my body to you to honor you for me. It's all about Jesus Christ. Jesus' presence is not the same as His availability. God is present in some fashion in hell. Hell would not exist if He was not there in some fashion. But He's not available in hell. He's not accessible. There's a separation. There is no fellowship with God. There is no connection. They know the judgment of God. They know the Avenger God. They don't know the God of mercy, God of grace. God is with us in Christ. He's for us in death, but He's only true to us by faith. This is the question. God is available. All that God is available to us today through Jesus Christ. But the question is, are you We can all play the games. We can come carry our Bible, sing the song, slap each other on the back, good to see you, God bless you, and go out and live life on our terms, in our choosing, in our strength, in our wisdom, and in our flesh. We can be carnally Christian to the core and trust Jesus Christ to save us eternally. Jesus didn't die just to save us eternally. If that was all, He'd have killed you the moment you said yes to Jesus. He's wanting to do something in you right now. And for you right now. It's an old illustration. I guess they used it back when I was in high school at the camps. Yeah, it's that old. You'll be surprised it has a car in it. It was, yeah. But it's the old illustration about if you're driving a car one day and you're going down the road and you look up and Jesus Christ is standing on the side of the road. You recognize Him. What do you do? Do you hope He doesn't see you? You get in the other lane, pass by, cover your head. Do you pull over and go, oh, Jesus, I am so excited. Come around here. And you take Him around to the back seat and you open the door for Him and say, get right in, Jesus, and sit right down. Let me drive you around town. Let me show for you. I'm just glad that you're in the car with me. Is that what you do? Or would you pull over and run around to the passenger side and open it up and say, Jesus, get right on in. I want you to sit up here with me so we can fellowship together. We can eyeball to eyeball. I can reach over and touch that hand that's been nailed perfect. Lord, we're going to have some sweet fellowship. Or would you get out and fall at His feet? Would you get out and fall at His feet? And when you get up, get back in the car, you hand Him the keys. Say, Jesus, you drive. I'm going to ride. That's what faith is. Let Jesus get in the driver's seat of your life. Every decision, in every day, in every relationship, in every encounter, in every struggle, every opportunity. Jesus, you drive. Let's pray. Father, thank You for showing us who You are through Your Son. For the privilege of just knowing Him, being forgiven, being called a Christian. Holy Spirit, I pray for every heart here this morning. Some may be still wanting to drive I pray that you'll help them to surrender the keys. Move over and let you take control. Lord, the struggles of our lives, the frustrations of our heart, the fears in our soul, whether they be personal or global or family or health or economic or confusion or ignorance or whatever it might be, help us to realize the answer has already been provided through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we will simply say, Lord, I resign from everything, but I'm available to what's on your mind. Lord, this invitation is yours. You revealed much more about yourself through our series together, through our study. God, I pray that we would not only fill our heads with these facts about your nature and your names, but we would alter our hearts. We would make some fresh decisions of confession and repentance and cleansing and commitment to say, Jesus, you take control. To live in your lordship by faith, by surrender, by confession, by repentance is the only way to be happy in Jesus, is to trust and obey. Lord, it could be there's families on the verge of breaking up. Could be people here sitting this morning, they've thought about suicide this week. Could be some are just confused. Lord, I join with them. We surrender our confusion, our fears, our frustrations. We run to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the captain of our souls, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the name above every name, that we might bow now. Everybody's going to bow someday. But God, we have the privilege now to get ahead and choose to bow. To say, God, here's my life. Here's my soul. Here's my mind. Here's my habits. Here's my pocketbook. Here's my relationships. Jesus, do what only you can do. Lord, if there's someone that we can introduce to you today, I pray that they'll come. There's someone seeking a church home and they say, you are leading them to a place where we can lift up the name of Jesus together in ministry and mission and grow together in Christ in Bible study and in worship and in service. God, as you are speaking now, may we do. In Jesus' name I pray.